Good morning. I'd like to call the Senate Finance Committee meeting to order. Today is Thursday, May 10th, 2018. The time is 9:45 a.m. If you're joining us off net or online, we're in Juneau, Alaska, the State Capitol Building, fifth floor, room 532. I'm Co-Chairman Anna McKinnon. With me at the table this morning, Co-Chairman Hoffman.
Good morning, Madam Chair.
Vice Chairman Bishop.
Good morning, Madam Chair.
Senator Von Imhoff.
It's a beautiful spring day.
Senator Machicki.
Good morning, Madam Chair.
Senator Olson.
Good morning, Madam Chair.
Senator Stevens.
Good morning, Madam Chair.
We are at full capacity today. Thank you all for being here. On today's agenda, we have three items: HB 331, tax credits, bonds, and royalties. HB 260, fish and game licensing, electronic form. And HB 214, Breeze Law, dating violence programs. Is there anything to come before the committee before we begin? If I could direct members' attention to House Bill 331. A brief history on this item. We heard the item on May 8th, 2018. A sectional was provided via a PowerPoint presentation of what was contained in the bill. We covered the fiscal notes in the presentation, and we had invited testimony in the morning. And in the afternoon at 2:05, we opened and closed the public hearing. Is there discussion on HB 331? Commissioner Fisher, would you like to come to the table and give the people of Alaska a brief overview on what the bill before us does?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Very briefly, HB 331 is intended to allow the state to pay off all of our obligations or a substantial majority of our obligations under existing tax credits. But it does it in a cost-neutral way by offering the credit holders the option to take a discount, and that discount will reduce the obligation of the state and allow us to bond for these tax credits, and the discount will pay the interest. And so the notion is that this will be neutral to cost to somewhat favorable, very modestly. It's not intended to be favorable to the state, but it's neutral to the state. It allows the credits to be paid off, which will allow these producers to be able to raise capital and reinitiate their projects and put Alaskans back to work.
Thank you. Are there questions from committee members? Senator Machicki.
Just a quick one, Madam Chair. We don't have DNR here, but Commissioner, can you just talk a little bit about some expectations of work that you would expect to move forward somewhat effectively for people that are stalled today? I know there's some on the Kenai, there's some on the slope. Do you have any comment on the other positive aspects, not only work-wise, but likely revenue to the state, for the revenue to the state?
Thank you. So there are in the neighborhood of 37, 38 credit holders. Each one has their own story, but most of them we've spoken with see this as an opportunity to be able to raise capital and deploy that capital to promote their projects and be able to continue the work. As you alluded to, in addition to putting Alaskans back to work when that happens, it will also accelerate the production from these properties. And so the state benefits from that. We get additional royalty. We also will receive production tax associated once those properties go into production. And so we view this as, in addition to putting Alaskans back to work and in addition to being able to finance these in a cost-neutral way, it also will provide an acceleration of revenue to the state in future years.
Thank you. Any other questions? Senator Bishop.
Madam Chair, I move CS for HB 331 version 30-GH2863/uniform from committee with the attached fiscal notes and individual recommendations.
Is there objection? Hearing none, CS for House Bill number 331 Finance, version U, moves from committee with attached fiscal note and individual committee recommendations. Brief at ease while we sign the paperwork. We're back on the record. The next item before Senate Finance is House Bill 260. It's an act relating to the possession of certain licenses, tags, and permits issued by the Department of Fish and Game and providing for an effective date. A brief history on this item. This bill was heard on April 8, 2018. We covered a sectional analysis. We covered the fiscal note. The public hearing was opened and closed. Is there any discussion on this item? Representative Sadler, would you give us a brief overview of what your bill does?
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, Representative Dan Sadler, House District 13, Eagle River. Madam Chair, members of the Senate Finance Committee, very briefly, House Bill 260 has four elements. It expands the definition of outdoor recreational licenses in AS 1605-330 to include electronic as well as paper forms. It provides in 330F that failure to have a license in possession is curable in 30 days by providing proof of a license valid at the time of the citation only for the sport hunting and fishing and trapping. Third, it provides immunity to a law enforcement officer for non-intentional damage to an electronic device while they're examining it to look at the license. And fourth, it adds fur dealing to the list of activities requiring licensing.
Thank you. Are there questions from committee members? Senator Bishop, may I have a motion?
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 260, version 30-LS1000/Oscar.Alpha. From the committee with the accompanying zero fiscal note and committee recommendations.
Is there objection? Seeing and hearing none, the seat is for House Bill number 260, Finance as amended. Version O.A moves from committee with attached fiscal note and individual committee recommendations. Brief at ease while we sign the paperwork. We're back on the record. The next item before the committee is House Bill 214, and it is Breeze Law, Dating Violence Programs. The bill was heard. I'm trying to find my documents, Senator. The bill was heard on April 20th, 2018. The sectional analysis was done. The public hearing was opened and closed. We need to cover the fiscal note. Is Mr.
Brief at ease.
Thank you very much. Trusted staff are saying we need to adopt the new CS to have the fiscal note in front of us. The fiscal note is different than the one we originally received. Senator Bishop, may I have a motion?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move Senate Committee substitute for House Bill 214, version 30-LS0781/November. Before the committee is our working document.
I'll object for purposes of understanding the CS. Ms. Lucky, if you could walk us through the changes.
Thank you, Madam Chairman, members of the Senate Finance Committee. For the record, my name is Julie Lucky, and I'm staff to Senator Anna McKinnon. And normally the CS presentations are fairly short and sweet, and today I'll ask for a little bit of indulgence to explain how we got to this particular CS. As House Bill 214 came to us, it was a much shorter bill, and it retroactively named a particular law, Breeze Law. As we looked into the bill, we did get a lot of feedback from various stakeholders, members of the public, people who worked in school districts, about how best to implement the program. And if I may give a little bit of history, this was one of the concerns in the original bill, is that the curriculum was not, there was no national adopted curriculum, and each school district in the original bill had to develop its own curriculum, and there were some that were concerned about that unfunded mandate that was passed down to the school districts. There were a few other concerns that were brought up regarding ongoing training costs and the time it was taking teachers to be out of classrooms, and we had to have substitute teachers for that. There was lack of training or a confusion about how to accept disclosures from people who might, teens who might be in a situation, how that would training for the people who would be hearing from them and making sure that that was handled in an appropriate manner, and also consistency across districts and ensuring best practices were included. While each district does need to think about their own students and their own culture and how large the school is and how small the school is and how best to give that information to students, there was some concern that at least the basic information followed best practices. This is, I hate to call it an emerging field because it is an important topic, but a lot of the recognition of what needs to be trained is new, and we are learning new best practices all the time, and so therefore that was a concern that was given to us by administrators. These are the things that are in Section 1 of Version N of the bill, and we have worked hard with the department to craft a bill that allows for flexibility for school districts that are already working on their particular programs, but also provides that basic assurance that all programs are meeting best practices. And so what you'll find is Section 1 of the bill actually repeals and reenacts the original legislation, and instead of putting that burden on each individual school district, we now require the department to consult with the school districts to develop and approve a program relating to teen dating violence and abuse awareness and prevention for grades 7 through 12. The components of the program are exactly the same as the current law, other than requiring the department to help develop the program. But the one new component you will see is on page 1, lines 11 through 13, and that requires that the program be reviewed periodically by a qualified individual or committee for consistency with generally accepted standards. This is language that exists in statute for teen suicide prevention, and as we're working with the department, we felt that this was a good inclusion to make to ensure that best practices are adopted. So those are the changes in Section 1. Section 2 is just a technical change that had to be made now that the department is not coming up with a policy and is instead doing a program. The word policy is taken out. That's the only change in Section 2 of the bill. Sections 3 and 4, this was, as we were doing the research to find out about best practices and what was being done in other states and nationally to combat this problem, what we found out is there is a national effort, and the national effort is known as the Teen Dating Violence Awareness and Prevention Program. And as I Googled the various, I guess that's how we all do our research these days, the various programs, when I put that search term in, Teen Dating Violence Awareness and Prevention, I came up with many, many resources that are available to teens about this problem, including youth.gov, CDC, the National Institute of Justice, Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month activities, National Resource Center on Domestic Violence, and a program called Futures Without Violence. Many of these national and other state programs use the term Dating Violence Awareness and Prevention Program. So, therefore, what we're doing in Sections 3 and 4 is Section 3 designates February each year as Teen Dating Violence Awareness and Prevention Month. This is a national designation. It happens in a lot of states. And I, frankly, was surprised, and I consider myself to be savvy about some of these issues, that it actually was designated this year by executive proclamation. And I think as I went around and talked to various people in the state, what I realized was there wasn't a lot of awareness that February was actually designated in our state as Teen Dating Violence Awareness and Prevention Month. So by adding that in Section 3 of this bill, that will be designated in perpetuity, and I believe that rises the focus on this particular month and the activities of that month, and will tie us into the national program. Lastly, in Section 4, in lieu of naming the law Bree's Law, we would name the new program the Bree Moore Teen Dating Violence Awareness and Prevention Program. And while that is a mouthful, the intent of this section is to honor Ms. Moore's legacy and give an Alaska face to the program, but also tie in our program with this larger national effort that really allows teens to have a lot more resources at their disposal by just using those search terms and being aware with that, aware of that phrase. Which will probably come as no surprise to the Finance Committee. This did generate a fiscal note if we're asking the department to do new training and do a new program instead of having that unfunded mandate on the districts. It will incur a fiscal note, and you'll see that in front of you today. And Todd Rochus is here from the department that can give more detail, but I just wanted to explain a little bit about what the chairman and committee staff have been doing to get this bill in front of you and to figure out this fiscal note. When we first saw this fiscal note, we were a little concerned about the cost, and you'll see in year one, it's $263,000. We did have discussions with the department about how maybe we could bring that fiscal note down in our due diligence to make sure dollars are being spent wisely. And they provided us with a menu of options. One of them was reducing tailoring for cultural references. We could have saved $30,000. We could shorten the teacher training and save $30,000. We could reduce the frequency of updates for these best practices and the training on the curriculum for the training and save $25,000 annually. After speaking with the department, the senator made the decision that really to have a good program in place, we need to look at all of these issues. And so therefore, instead of reducing the fiscal note by these amounts, we are presenting for the committee's consideration the full fiscal note requested by the department, which they can go over in more detail, which would require in FY19 $263,300. In FY20 would be $119,300, and then an ongoing cost of $75,000 per year. Now, this is, I will put on the record that this is an estimate. We've been working with the department. They will need to do a little bit more refining of the numbers, and we'll have to wait for a new fiscal note forthcoming, and they can provide more details on this effort. But I did want to point out that adopting the CS is taking on a cost. It's taking on a cost of the unfunded mandate that was passed down to the schools in the original Bree's Law. And those are all of the changes to the CS, Madam Chair, and I appreciate the committee's indulgence in giving a little bit of history with where we are on the CS and how we got here.
Ms. Lucky, if you could stay there for a moment. Representative Drummond, would you like to join us at the microphone if you have any thoughts on the CS before we consider adoption?
Good morning. Thank you, Madam Chair and Senate Finance Committee. Representative Harriet Drummond from Spinard and Midtown Anchorage, original sponsor of the bill. I appreciate your infinite patience and thorough attention to this issue. I think this was a needed change to this whole program in terms of focusing the resources on the teenagers that will benefit from this knowledge. That's really all I have to say. And thank you.
Representative Drummond, are you okay in favor of the CS adoption? The committee likes to know whether we've worked with the sponsor, whether things are acceptable with the sponsor. I know that I talked to you last night, but if there are objections, you are welcome to state them.
I'm fine with the curriculum that that is being worked on by the department. I think they know the best way to get this consistent across all of our school districts, whose needs vary widely. I think that Bree's parents would love to see the mention of Bree's Law somewhere in, maybe perhaps as a simple amendment that says the Bree Moore Teen Dating Violence Program, also known as Bree's Law, just to validate the enormous amount of work that they've put in terms of labeling the program. Other than that, I'm happy.
Thank you, Senator Von Imhoff.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Lucky, that presentation was excellent. Thank you, and thank you for all the work. This is a tremendous CS, and in my opinion, an incredible improvement. Representative Drummond, I understand that having a common name of Bree's Law is preferable by Bree's parents and maybe others, but I think when Ms. Lucky pointed out, when you Google Bree's Law, one site comes up. When you Google teen violence and awareness prevention, a whole slew of resources that are nationally certified come up. And if a teen is in trouble and needs help right off the bat and is turning to their phone, having the longer name in front of them will yield, and it appears to be many more resources to help that teen. And to me, that is the important factors. We want to get the resources to the teens who are in trouble at the time of crisis. And having it nationally standard will give just a lot more options for teens.
Thank you for those comments. Senator Stevens.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. Well, I've been reading the explanation of the changes and then reading the bill, and I just have a little concern. I understand certainly allowing local control. That's great. I don't understand cultural differences. The word cultural differences does not appear in the bill. It only appears in the explanation of changes, and I just need to know, what is there a cultural difference when it comes to teen dating violence? I mean, is there a cultural difference? And maybe Ms. Drummond could speak to that, or is it Drummond?
Senator Stevens, I think that we can have the department come up and explain what they have talked to us about as far as cultural differences and how that might appear in a state program, a state-developed program. Representative Drummond, did you have any further comments?
No, I think the department would be a good resource, as well as somebody like Catherine Gottlieb at South Central Foundation in terms of the cultural differences in Alaska Native villages. I am not qualified to speak to that, but I know she could.
Thank you, Ms. Kidd. Thank you, Representative.
I'll look forward to hearing that, Madam Chair. Violence is violence, whatever culture you're in, and I'd be interested in hearing the response.
Certainly. Thank you for joining us. Is there objection to adoption of the CS? I'll remove my objection. Further objection to adopting the CS? If not, the CS is before us. Brief at ease. We're back on the record. The CS, the Senate CS for the House, House Bill 214 Finance Version N is before us. Ms. Herman, would you, is there someone who can talk to us about, are you trying to get, deploy someone here? Ms. Herman, you'll have to say it on the microphone, or Todd, if you'd like to come to the microphone so that you can speak to the fiscal note and the curriculum development that we are asking the state to endeavor upon.
Good morning, Madam Chair. My name is Marcy Herman. I'm the legislative liaison for the Alaska Department of Education and Early Development, and I need to go upload this fiscal note for your use later, but Mr. Brocious, my colleague, is here to speak to you.
Okay.
Thank you. Brocious.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the Senate Finance Committee. My name is Todd Brocious. I am the School Health and Safety Education Administrator with the Department of Education. Do you have specific questions regarding the curriculum development, or would you like me to begin by addressing the question around cultural relevance?
The cultural relevance would be a nice place to start. And then for those that are following at home that are in support of teen dating violence and attaching a face, Bree Moore's face, to this particular program, please explain to the general public what we mean by a state-developed curricula and working with school districts.
Great. First, in terms of wanting to have a curriculum developed that's culturally relevant, we really recognize that across the state of Alaska there's tremendous variety in urban and rural settings around kind of the language used, what communities are comfortable with in terms of delivering content. And we want to be cognizant of that and responsive to that. And we also would like to, as part of a curriculum development and review, be sure to include varied audiences, including some of our Alaska Native partners, into any curriculum review, just to ensure that this is appropriate and speaks in a meaningful way to all audiences, to all students. In terms of an overall curriculum development, you know, there is some challenge to this, because really when you think about the requirements, that this is a student training that has to be delivered to students who are both in 7th grade and 12th grade, and there's tremendous differences developmentally in terms of what's appropriate and what's kind of commonplace for dating in a 7th grader versus a 12th grader. So we would really need to create several strands. We think we might develop a strand for 7th and 8th grade, for 9th and 10th and 11th and 12th that really kind of was age appropriate, which is required by law. And so we would seek to put together a curriculum development team that would create each of those three strands.
Senator Stevens, follow up.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. I think I understand better. So you're not saying that the teen violence, dating violence, is acceptable in some places and not in others. What you're talking about, cultural relevance, you're talking about making the students and the parents comfortable in the material they're receiving. You're not saying there's a cultural difference in teen violence.
Through the chair, Senator Stevens, absolutely not. I know that violence is impermissible everywhere, and so this is just kind of tailoring the message and the curriculum.
Thank you. If I could just restate, what we're attempting to provide is a vehicle for collaboration with districts so that the message is the same, but it can be heard by all in a way that is culturally appropriate. I can talk really fast, and I have a staff person that talks faster than I can. And she thinks even faster than that. She is amazing. All of my staff are amazing folks. But sometimes I have to pause and say, I can't hear it as fast as you're thinking it and saying it, and slow down. And I say that because I lived in Unalaska, Alaska, and I have grown up around different nationalities and cultures. And sometimes things can be said differently to be heard a different way. Sometimes you just have to slow down and let people contemplate a particular item or sentence. I know that was my experience in Unalaska, that I moved much faster, and so I'm sure I was seen as the odd duck in speaking inappropriately in front of an elder or asserting myself as a female in a group when the male had inside of that culture had more of a domineering role. And so so I was seen as obtrusive or disrespectful. And I certainly would never want to be seen like that. And so I think this is our opportunity for the administration at DEED to help correct some of the things that we didn't have time to contemplate under the original consideration of teen dating violence. And senators, that happened for the same reason that we find ourselves here today. And I just can't, I can't let it go, and I will try to be as professional as I can. It does matter about process, and it does matter how you get to a solution. Intimidation, name-calling, harassment, jumping out and blocking people in hallways, speaking and saying something that it could be corrected or better about any individual bill is part of our process. And we have, when we have individuals who, through intimidation or otherwise, silence voices so those voices can't be heard and we can't address the problems that are being brought forward, there is a problem. This is why this bill was referred to the Senate Finance Committee. This is why the Senate Finance Committee has taken 3 weeks to get to this point, trying to fit this consideration into other items that came in much before it, like the operating budget, like all of the other bills that were in line in front of it. No one in this committee has ever tried to block this conversation, but we have tried to provide a voice for those who wanted to speak but felt like they were silenced through intimidation, through respect for a family who has suffered a loss that no one should have to suffer, through domestic violence, through a murder of a child. The buck stops here at a chairmanship when you have to set personal things aside and try to do what is best for society as a whole. This is a law. This is a law proposed to be named after an individual who lost her life through a tragic death. But there are other faces in Alaska, faces from our African American community, faces from our Asian community, faces that are Alaska Native. They are not all Caucasian faces. But Bree's family, through sheer determination, has brought us to this day. And it's bittersweet for me because this should be a day of rallying. And instead, I find myself not wanting to move this conversation forward because of all of the inappropriate comments and mislabeling of people's intentions around this issue. It makes me sick after speaking with some of the people who wrote letters of support, why those letters of support are in our files. Just let that sink in. People are writing letters of support so that people are not being harassed on a daily basis to stop the issue. Out of respect, it's the right thing to do. But out of respect for Bree Moore, this issue is before us. The actions of some members that have been advocating for this, I have to ask myself, when does advocacy cross over to bullying? When does it cross over to harassment? That line has to be determined by each one of us. And as this bill moves on its way, which I have every hope that it does, we will consider and debate whether it's the right thing to do for Bree, whether it's the right thing to do for our teachers, our school districts, and our Department of Education. And I have spoken with all of those individuals. I have spoken with the shelters. So I'll leave it at that. It's difficult. It's the right thing to do. And I have trepidation about doing it based on how we've gotten to here today. And so I'll leave it to the committee as we move forward on whether it's the right thing to do for Bree Moore and all of the people of Alaska, all of our teens, all of our men, women, and children, or whether it should be brought up at a different time and date when the process can happen how the process should happen, and that is with robust debate and all voices at the table and no voices being silenced. Comments from committee members. Senator Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I want to echo the concern that you have just voiced related to some of the postings that I've seen out there related to this very important subject, and have been very disappointed in some of the people who have taken on stances that I think are contrary to the long-term violence that we see within those people, within that population that's so vulnerable. And so I just want to say that you've articulated very well some of the concerns that I have, but I think we want to make sure that even those, some of those personal, what I think are personal attacks, don't cloud our minds as policy makers for this very important bill that's coming through, and having, like the senator to my right, having young daughters that are coming up, I want to make sure they're well protected.
Thank you, Senator Olson. Senator Machicki.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think you struck a balance in this bill that I think will deliver the most effective teen dating violence programs to the people of Alaska. That's my concern. I know the Moores. I have four daughters, and I can't even begin to describe the loss, what that would feel like to a father and a mother to lose a daughter that way. I mean, we've been in this discussion for a couple of years now. You know, I don't know how I would have handled this situation, but the reality of it is, Madam Chair, is I think you've balanced all of the emotion around this issue in trying to produce a product that will provide young people with the guidance to hopefully avoid situations like Breeze in the future, and that's the most important thing to me. I don't know where that line is crossed between advocacy and something less productive, Madam Chair. We get emails every day. There's been emotional issues the last couple of years with things, tough decisions we've had to make, and we get emails on a lot of different subjects that call us really horrible things. Well, it doesn't help the discussion. In fact, it eliminates the individual from the discussion. I do not receive emails that have obscenities in them. And I read every email, Madam Chair, every single one of them, every word of them. And when there's an obscenity, a personal attack, someone calling someone a criminal, someone bringing up something unrelated that's negative on the subject, we don't hear you. We only hear you when you talk to us the way that we talk to you. It's respectfully exchanging ideas on any particular subject. So I think you captured a balance here that provides what needs to happen. I appreciate you naming it the Bree Moore Teen Dating Violence Awareness and Prevention Program. Folks are going to call it Bree's Law. I do think it's a good balance. I do think it should be a standard program. I think the state should be providing. Children move around Alaska a lot. I think they should have the same curriculum wherever they're going to school, whether it's young men or women, and I think that's the most effective way to deliver this curriculum. So thank you for your work, and I certainly hope the committee will support moving it forward.
Senator Stevens.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for bringing it to us in this forum. But I'd like to hear from the department specifically how they're going to implement Section 1. training for employees and students, providing parent notice, and then who is going to be the qualified individual committee that will review all of this? And are we talking about reviewing the statewide program, or are we talking about reviewing the districts?
Through the chair. Senator Stevens, it would really be an amalgam. So in one part, you know, during the initial work of the Alaska Safe Children's Act Task Force, a committee review was convened, and a number of evidence-based national dating violence curricula were identified and pushed forward for district consideration for use. That list was not exhaustive, and one of the recommendations that came out of the Alaska Safe Children's Act Task Force was that there was kind of a scarcity of curricula available for grades 10 through 12 in particular, and that more curricula either needed to be developed or identified to meet that gap. And so really the vision is that a curriculum review committee, another one, would convene, and it would further that kind of environmental scan of nationally available best practice curricula, and in addition would convene a collection of state and federal experts to help develop an Alaska-specific curriculum for grades 7 through 12. So kind of both.
Thank you very much, and I appreciate that explanation.
Other questions from committee members? What is the will of the committee? Is there any questions on the fiscal note? Any questions on the bill?
Madam Chair.
Senator Michigan.
It'll be very brief. I'm sorry. You know, I had sticker shock from the fiscal note. When I think about all of the cost, not only socially and personally, that we have in this state that is number one in all the wrong demographics, including domestic violence, $260,000 to me is relatively cheap. It hits every other category of spend, and that's not even including the heartache that comes along with it. Madam Chair, I'm going to support the bill and the fiscal note, and hopefully we'll whittle away at it a little bit with the department in the future. But an effective program is more important than saving pennies.
Senator Bishop.
I support my chair.
Thank you, Senator Bishop.
As far as the curriculum development, believe it or not, I actually went to a university one time. I didn't graduate, but I went to curriculum development. It's part of my other job. Curriculum development is it's time. I looked at the note, and I'm not trying to be flippant, Madam Chair, but it didn't rattle my cage, because after going to school for several weeks on how to develop curriculum and how to write tests, it takes about 40 hours to write a 25-question multiple-choice test and do a good job at it. And so, you know, that's 8 hours a day, 5 days a week. And the professor that taught our class, he charged, I think it was like $20,000 to just develop the tests for school districts for this curriculum development. So I concur with Senator Michicki. It's the right thing to do. I don't have any problem with this one, ma'am.
Thank you. Are we ready to move the bill?
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 214, version 30-LS0781, /November from the committee with the forthcoming fiscal note and committee recommendations.
Is there objection? Seeing none, the Senate CS for House Bill number 214, Finance, version N, with attached fiscal note and individual committee recommendation, moves from committee. Ms. Herman, could I have you join us at the microphone? Good morning. Your name for the record.
Marcy Herman, Legislative Liaison for the Department of Education and Early Development.
Thank you, Ms. Herman. I'd like to thank you and the Commissioner of Education for working with my team on this issue and going through the anonymous issues that were raised out of the public eye. Mr. Moore, in an email to me, sort of called out and said, tell me who's in opposition, you know. That's the problem. that's the problem, that people don't feel like they can say it without, one, causing additional pain. They do not want to cause pain to this family who suffered so much. And they don't want to be in opposition. They want to make things better. And that's what we've tried to do. I implore you to reach out to the family that is in advocating and to see if there's a way that we can offer any kind of grief support services. I would also hope that the administration respectfully include them in our statewide effort, but in an appropriate manner so that all voices are heard and that people can provide issues related to different communities' perception and their heritage into making it receivable to all so that all can hear the voice of what we're trying to do, and that is allowing individuals, young folks whose lives are being shaped, to understand if they're in a healthy relationship or whether someone is creating a power situation over them that is not manageable and that can get out of control. And so as we move this forward, if it's successful on the Senate floor, I hope that we will be respectful to those that are grieving and provide them time to grieve. Time can go by, but if you keep yourself busy, that busy is not grieving. Busy is sometimes the only way you can survive such a loss, and I speak from experience regarding that. But at some point, life gets calmer, and you have to go through the process of grieving, and I hope that that can be successful and that that we can move forward to in a collaborative way together in a professional, respectful way to develop curricula that is good for all of the people of Alaska. If you could just carry that on to the commissioner so that we have a relationship that is healthy in developing these curricula, it would be a blessing to all of us.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I will carry that back to the commissioner. And if I might just add that you and Ms. Kramer and Ms. Lucky have been excellent thought partners as we work through this process, and we appreciate that from our end as well.
Thank you very much. Brief of these. We're back on the record.
It is grieving.
Senators, we're going to keep. Is there anything else on this meeting? So I'll adjourn shortly. Because we are trying to conclude our business, our schedules are going to be in flex, which is why we moved some of the bills that we had planned for this afternoon up to this morning. So we will hold, and we will still have our 1:30 meeting scheduled. In case any of the other committees need us to have an action. But my anticipation is that we will not meet unless there is something something that comes to us quickly, whether it's a CS or something that needs to be moved to the floor. So we will, for those that are watching at home, we'll have a scheduled 1:30 meeting. It's our anticipation that other meetings will take precedent. Those meetings, we hope, will be conference committee meetings as we go forward, or other important meetings critical to us departing Juneau and ending our session. So 1:30 is on the schedule. I expect that floor session may be delayed a little bit, and so that's what was pushing into our floor session. So I just want to put everybody on record. We'll be back at 9:30 tomorrow morning. We do have House Bill 119, I believe, and there may be another bill in there too, but I know that a bill got read across to us yesterday that we'll be reviewing to see if there's support to move that bill along or not. Is there anything else to come before the committee? With that, we're adjourned.